Hope everybody had a good dinner. You're all, I don't know about y'all, the pizza kind of hit me hard. So if I look like I have narcolepsy up here, just Waylon's already been told to nudge me. Do something a little bit different tonight. I wanted to share with you, as I studied this week, I was reminded really of the persistence of God, even more his sovereignty over his creation. And as Jonah stated in 1:9, the Lord God of heaven, who made the sea and the dry land. And I wanted to share something that it kind of hits me every time I hear it. It's from a Beth Moore concert. It's about if you'll hang with it, it's just under 5 minutes. And then we're going to sing Grace Greater Than All Our Sin after that. But if you can imagine, what she's talking about is in Hebrews with Paul and Silas. When they're arrested, they're beaten, put into cell. And then there's this giant earthquake that just rattles the jail, opens the doors, drops the chains, things of that nature. I won't tell you the whole thing. But as you think about earthquake, think about the tempest that we studied about this week. And if you have a problem envisioning that, think about Irma. Everybody remember Irma? She's just a few weeks old. She's blown out now. But that was a pretty great wind, I think, wasn't it? But try to imagine that. And then as they're praying to many gods, one of the things that I was reminded of as I was listening to it again is that, you know, how many gods do we put before our God? And what I mean by that is work, money, you know, different things that get in the way of God. And really what the crux of the message is from Beth Moore is about worship. So think about that. I don't think any of us are here. One of the words she uses in this is status quo. I don't think we're here for the status quo. I think we're here to grow more and more and draw closer to God. So just wanted to share this with you. I'm going to sit down so you don't have to look at me while she's, I love her voice because it reminds me of my Aunt Edie. She enunciates so well. Mike.
She's not going to be on the screen now. You're just going to be listening. Sorry about that.
To me, it was like the Mariners. They were sailing out on crystal clear, easy seas, and suddenly this tempest came up. And Jonah was sleeping, of course, but just throw me in, guys. Throw me in. So I think they found the Lord that day. I don't know that they received salvation, but I know that they know who the God of all is. Dave, we got words? I'm sorry, we're doing a cappella? Excuse me. Put these things on. Okay. Marvelous grace of our loving Lord, grace that exceeds our sin and our guilt. Till Calvary's mount outpoured, there where the blood of the Lamb was spilled. Grace, grace, God's grace. Grace that will pardon and cleanse within. Grace, grace, God's grace. Grace that is greater than all our sin. And despair like the sea waves roll, threaten the soul. Grace, grace, God's grace. Y'all sounded incredible. Pray with me. Father God, we come before you tonight, Lord, just acknowledging your sovereignty. God, just your mightiness. Lord, you are the Almighty God. Thank you for that. Thank you for showing us who you are in your word and in our lives as we go about our day-to-day activities. Father, as Waylon comes to us this evening, God, just pray that you will pierce our hearts with the words that you've already laid on his. Thanks for praying in your son's precious name. Amen.
Good evening. Everybody get a handout? Anybody needs a handout? Okay, good. We're on the same page to start with. TGIM, thank God it's Monday. I hope everybody had their good time in their social with the whatever you decided for your social to be. That's always a good time of fellowship. We get to find out about one another as we did in our in my huddle group with Doug's huddle, and I enjoyed that. I enjoyed that fellowship. Kind of wanted to start out tonight with Jonah, the story of Jonah. Jonah is no fairy tale. His life and his story is truth, which really is something we're seeing as we're studying the lesson of Jonah, what it all reveals to us. And actually, Kenny did some of this when he did his introduction, talking about everything that we would go over when we studied Jonah, like disobedience and obedience, grace, mercy, his love, his forgiveness, salvation, all these things we see when we study Jonah. But what about when somebody comes up to you, or I'm that new Christian, and I'm just learning about God's Word, and I said, you know, tell me how, I'm just not sure about this whale, this big fish, you know, swallowing this man. Where are you going to take me? What you going to show me? I just don't know. I want to know. Matter of fact, I'm not even a Christian. You really believe that? Well, I tell you what, I just kind of want to give you three things tonight. When somebody asks you that question, you probably already have your own answers. I know you just kept them to yourself then, but I'm just going to give you three little points that when somebody throws that question at you, you can say, you know, this is where I stand on this. This is my answer. You know, I'm not asking you to believe it, but I have somewhere to take you and show you. So that's what I wanted to do. First, I wanted to go to Psalm 119, verse 160. Here it is, and I'm reading from New King James Version. I think they have it up here on the board, up here on the screen board. Yeah, they have screens now, Waylon, screens. It says, "The entirety of your word is truth, and every one of your righteous judgments endures forever." So what the psalmist is saying there, all of God's word is true. From Genesis to Revelations, everything is true. I don't see anywhere in there where they put a little, you know, comment said, but, you know, Jonah getting swallowed by the big fish. So that's one place you go. From there, I want to go, well, wait a minute. Whoa. Truth? What is truth? What, your truth? Well, I got a truth. I mean, you know, what is truth today? Truth's one of those things people will slap a question mark on today. Truth? Well, what is truth? Well, let's take a look at what God's Word says about truth. Turn with me. No, don't turn with me. It's up here on the board. I forgot. I'm catching up. We got some nice new stuff this year, and I'm learning about this. I miss the tape on the side of my head. I really do. I don't like this thing just sitting up here. I'm expecting it any minute just to jump off. I like when I had that tape slapped right here and another piece back here and a piece down my back, you know. So it's just, I'm learning about this new stuff we got. You know, I'm moving into the new age here. Anyway, John chapter 8, verses 31 and 32. Jesus is speaking to the Jews here, those who believed him, but really they're just kind of questioning to him too. It says, "Then Jesus said to those Jews who believed, 'If you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed. And you shall know the truth.'" The truth is in Jesus. "And the truth shall make you free." So what Jesus is telling us there, that the truth abides in his words. The words of Jesus is truth. Okay, well, where are we going to take that when we're talking about Jonah and the big fish? We're going to go right back to what they give to us on our study. In chapter 12 of Matthew. Chapter 12 of Matthew. Let's go there. We already said everything in God's word is truth, front to back. Jesus said, "If you abide in my word, my truth will set you free." Well, in Matthew, Jesus says in chapter 12, verse 40, "For Jonah was 3 days and three nights in the belly of the great fish." I'm going to just stop right there. I'm not going to read the rest of it. The rest of it he speaks. He's using that as a sign. He's trying to tell the Pharisees, here's my sign. You want a sign? I'm not going to give you a sign. But here's a sign that happened in the Old Testament with Jonah. And so there's your answer. The next time somebody says, "Oh, come on, you don't believe a fish swatting." You know what? I'm going to take you to God's Word and show you what I believe God's Word says. And yes, according to God's inerrant Word, I do believe. Like I said, you don't have to use that. I just, you know, thought if you wanted to, I'd throw it out there for you. So here we go. We're going to kind of look into tonight's lesson. "Perhaps Your God" is the title. And we're going to look at the quote tonight. It's from Oswald Chambers. We saw a lot of praying going on in chapters 1 and chapters 2 with the mariners and also with Jonah. "We have to pray with our eyes on God and not on our difficulties." And if you remember in the study, that's what we saw from the mariners and that's what we saw from Jonah. They cried out to God. It says that about both of them. Both of them, that statement is used both. They cried out to the Lord. So let's take a look tonight and see where we're going to kind of what we went over here this week. And it really is so much. This chapter 1 and 2, it was so much. If you were going to do the lecture tonight, what would you have wanted to do the lecture on? I just want to hear. Because it was 10,000 things that run through my mind. I'm listening. Talk to me. Tell me what you would have wanted to hear tonight in the lecture. Because you probably won't hear it, but, you know, it's what you want to hear. But I'm listening. Was it just, well, ho. Mary, I'm going to just call you out because you didn't ask. Mary wanted to know what the sacrifice was. When the mariners offer the sacrifice, once they understand who the true God is, and also Jonah offers a sacrifice. You know what I told Mary? I don't know. But that intrigued me. I thought, wonder what that was. And then again, we may not know. Go to Deuteronomy 29:29. That's my kind of go-to. You know, it says, there's some things we just are never going to know. Like, what kind of fish that was. We're never going to know. But it was a big fish that swallowed him. But anybody else, what do you want to go over tonight in the lecture? Excuse me? Why was Jonah so? I love that, Denise. I love that. First thing I can tell you about that brother had some serious sea legs. This was the storm of storms, the perfect storm, and he is in a coma. I don't understand that either. But I am maybe going to look at that. I'm glad you brought that up. I will kind of touch on that. That makes me feel good that kind of. I saw Steve. You raise your hand in back. God's awesome power. Wow. Wow. Mm. We sure saw that, didn't we? Sovereign over all things. Over all things. The sea. The wind. All things. Men. All things. That's a good one. We may just look at a little bit about that one. That's far. Okay, y'all had your chances. I'm just kind of cut it off right there. You know, whatever your lectures were, you have to hold that to yourself. Here's where I kind of going tonight. Chapter 1 of Jonah, verses 2 and 3. Arise, go to Nineveh, the great city, and cry out against it. For their wickedness has come up before me. But Jonah arose to flee to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. He went down to Joppa and found a ship going to Tarshish. So he paid the fare, went down into it, and to go with them to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. Now, I just kind of want us to stop right there. We kind of see what happened. God speaks to Jonah, tells him where he wants to go. Jonah says, nope, I'm going the other way. I'm running. No, I want you to go. No, I'm going the other way. I just want to stop right here, and I know you think, oh, man, this is Jonah. What's up with this dude? Let's put on Jonah's sandals. Let's just put on Jonah's sandals right now. You can put on flip-flops where you or your Dockers. I don't know what you want to call it, whatever you want to wear. But we're going to put on Jonah's sandals right now and think about where Jonah was asked to go. If you got your Bibles, the other part of our study is what? Jonah and what? Let's go to Nahum chapter 3 and just see where God was going to send Jonah, before we start calling Jonah out too much. Chapter 3, verse 1. Woe to the bloody city. It is all full of lies and robbery. Its victim never departs. Are you ready for that assignment? That's the city he was going to. That's where he was going. Are we ready for that assignment? Are we ready to kind of kick Jonah a little bit and say, oh, come, Jonah, God's caught. Jonah's not going to Disney World. This was not a Disney World trip. Let's kind of understand that right now. I just read from God's Word how he described Nineveh. A bloody city full of robbery and lies. And when you went there, you didn't leave. The victims didn't depart. So Jonah is not going to Disney World. Now, here's where I want us to kind of look at tonight. What is Jonah running from? Go back and read verses 3 and 4, because it's right there. What is Jonah running? Excuse me. Go ahead, Lisa. Well, he knew this place he go was not a good place to go. There was some fear there. But, you know, when I thought about it, as I was reading this and thinking about it, I'm thinking, he's really not running from Nineveh. It never says anything. Go to God's Word and look. But Jonah arose to flee to Tarshish from the great city of Nineveh. Is that what it says? If you're looking at God's Word, you know it's not what it says. To flee from the presence of the Lord. Jonah's not running from this bloody city. Even though I agree with Lisa, it was probably some fear there. Some like, whoa, I know what these guys are like. Fear was there. But God's Word tells us right there, he is running from the presence of the Lord. And so I had to think about that. I thought about that as I was looking at that. He arose to run from the presence of the Lord. It doesn't say he arose to run from Nineveh. It was from the presence of the Lord. In verse 4, it says the same thing. He gets on the ship. He's ready to go. He says to go with them to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. It doesn't say from Nineveh. from the presence of the Lord. We need to understand that tonight as we're doing this study, that Jonah is running from the presence of the Lord, not necessarily from Nineveh. Now, we know that race is futile. Psalm 139 tells us that's an impossible race. You cannot go anywhere, Psalm 139 tells us, that the Lord is not there. I'm not going to go over that psalm tonight. It's been part of our study, but there's nowhere we can go that the Lord is not there. And I thought about that. That goes right back to when we were talking about what Jesus said to those Jews. He says, running from, in other words, running like Jonah was doing, was really not abiding in the Lord's word. It's not following what he asked him to do. And that's what Jesus said a disciple will do. A disciple will abide in my word. He will try to follow what I'm asking him to do. So you see there that even in that, and then also, we're looking at Jonah as God's prophet, called to go. But what does Matthew 28 tell us as Jesus' disciples? We're to go into what? All nations. And carry the gospel, the truth. So we get that same go as Jonah got right here going to Nineveh. We see that. So Jonah, God's prophet, boards the ship. He gets ready. But we see that he's running from the presence of the Lord. And so he gets on the ship. He's not a stowaway. He paid his fare. He belongs there. He didn't try to sneak on. He paid it, got on, and he's ready to go. So right now, Jonah's kind of fitting in. He's one of them. He's not. He don't have to hide. He's fitting in. He's paid his fare. He's done. So they're sailing along. We don't really know when the storm hit. They're sailing along. You know, you go along. It's sailing smooth. Everything's going. And the rest of the mariners, you know, just like Jonah, you know, Jonah's on there with his God, and they're on there with their gods. And they're on the sea, and it's smooth sailing. It's so smooth that Jonah, the good sailor with sea legs, goes down in the bottom of the ship and what? Goes into a deep sleep, a coma. How he does that, I'm like you. I don't have sea legs. I get real shaky on a John boat on a pond. That just makes me mad. I wish I did have sea legs because there's some big fish you can catch out there in the ocean. I always want to go out there, but, you know, I feed them rather than catch them. And so I just don't go there. I just, you know, it just makes me mad that I can't go out there. But anyway, listen to what Charles Spurgeon says about Jonah. He calls Jonah out. He says, all the while the ship sails smoothly over the sea, Jonah forgot his God. You could not have distinguished him from the heathens on board. He was just as bad as they were. In other words, what Spurgeon's saying is, Jonah, God's prophet, had fit right in with the rest of them on the ship so well that he was able to go to bottom and just fall into that deep sleep. So Jonah, God's prophet, is sailing along. All's good. He seems to be oblivious to the point that he's running from the presence of God. Don't miss that. He's not running from Nineveh. He's running from the presence of God. That's what God's word says. He's running from the presence of God. So here's my question. We know where Jonah's at. He's on the boat. He's down there asleep. Storm hadn't hit yet. Or maybe it had. I don't know. But where I'm at, it hadn't hit yet. Here's my question. So where's Jonah's storm at? Where is Jonah's storm at?
In his heart.
In his heart. Because why? When there's a relationship between you and the Heavenly Father and you don't obey Him's calling, there's usually going to be a little problem on the heart. I didn't have the heart wrote down, Lisa, but you had exactly in a way what I had inside. His storm is on the inside. When you're running from the presence of the Lord, whether you have a relationship with the Lord or whether you don't have a relationship with the Lord and the Lord's trying to call you to a relationship, you have a storm going on in your life. It's just that simple. When you're running from the presence of the Lord, Waylon, you're always in the eye of the storm. Remember that. When we run from the presence of the Lord, we're always in the eye of the storm. Let's go to the second part of lesson tonight. Second part of light, the sleeper arises. Verses 4, 5, and 6. It says in verse 4, "But the Lord sent out a great wind on the sea, and there was a mighty tempest on the sea, so that the ship was about to be broken up." Now, when y'all read that, when you studied that, those who were in the study of Job, did you have any flashbacks? I did. I have flashbacks. This guy at the fire department I worked with, he called them flashlights, but I have flashbacks. I have flashbacks of Job chapter 38. I fell in love with Job chapter 38 when we studied that, because that's where God comes to speak to Job. And he says, "Gird yourself like a man, Job. I'm getting ready to speak. You want an answer? I'm getting ready to give you some answers." Job chapter 38. I'm going to go back and read to it about God's presence. Listen to this right here. Verse 34 and 38. Slow down, Waylon. Blah. Chapter 38, verse 34 and 35. "Listen to the power and sovereignty of an almighty God over all things." And we just see he called up the storm and the wind. Listen to what it says. He asked Job, "Can you lift up your voice to the clouds that an abundance of water may cover you?" And this is the one I love right here, verse 35. "Can you send out lightnings that they may go and say to you, here we are?" That's the God of the universe. That's the God who is over all creation. That's the God who says, "I'm going to send a tempest upon the sea and a great wind, and it comes." So we see God's sovereignty here over all things. Going on, finishing that verse, it says, "So that the ship was about to be broken up." Verse 5. "Then the mariners were afraid, and every man cried out to his God and threw the cargo that was in the ship into the sea to lighten the load. But Jonah had gone down into the lowest parts of the ship, had lain down, and was fast asleep." Verse 6. "So the captain came to him and said to him, 'What do you mean, sleeper? Arise.'" That's the second time Jonah's been told to arise. And it's the same word used in both times. The first time God spoke to him. This time a man is speaking to him. "Arise, call on your God. Perhaps your God will consider us so that we may not perish." I found it real ironic that here Jonah, God's prophet, is running from his God. He's running from the presence of God. And he has been asked by the captain of the ship, "Hey, how about praying to your God?" Wait a minute, you don't know I'm running from my God. Isn't it ironic to you? He's being asked to cry out to his God, and Jonah's running from his God. He's running from the presence of his God. I just thought that was amazing there. You know, when I read that, he tells him, "Sleeper, arise." He calls him a sleeper. Just, you know, "I want you to wake up and cry out to your God." And so Jonah is asked to call on his God. And we know kind of the rest of the story. I kind of wanted to think about this sleeper, Jonah. And I want to ask you a question. How would you compare God's sleeping prophet to a sleeping Christian? Which is just like Jonah's doing. So okay, I can go along with that. Lisa, what else? I can go very much along with that. Lisa, how would you compare a sleeping God's prophet to a sleeping Christian? Lisa said, he's not obeying. I'm not going to speak to the rest for any of the Christians in here and ask if you always obey God. You know, I can speak for myself and know that I fail miserably there sometimes. What else? Yes, John. Concerned with yourself. Yeah. All about me. No, don't tell me that, John. Don't tell me that Christians can get all about me. Well, yeah. That's what this God's prophet, it was. Kind of all about me. He's resting good down there. He's resting really good down there. I like that, John. What else? How is God's prophet, the sleeper God's prophet, the same as a sleeping Christian?
You put worldly good for God.
Do what?
You put worldly good.
Worldly goods for God. Do what? Oblivious. I tell you what, y'all are knocking it out of the park tonight. I love when you talk to me like this. I've got six things here that speaks to Jonah as compared to a sleeping Christian. Y'all really have rocked about half of them already. Now, I'd like to say I thought of these, but I didn't. I actually took these from a commentary from David Gusick. So I'm going to just acknowledge him. This didn't come from Whalen, but I love these references here. And I'm going to use the same sentences to start each one. Jonah was a sleeping Christian, just hiding out till he reached his destination. Jonah was a sleeping Christian, not concerned about doing the Lord's work. That's what one of you said. Jonah was a sleeping Christian, not involved in the prayer meeting going on board the ship. Jonah was a sleeping Christian. He doesn't care to know what really is going on around him. The very thing you said, Herb. Jonah was a sleeping Christian, caught in a dangerous storm, but don't know it. And that's a bad place to be, especially if you're a follower of God. And the last one, Jonah was a sleeping Christian, cruising and snoozing while the world around him needs to hear God's message and the truth of testimony. I thought, that's really good. And what amazed me is that's what I heard you say. God doesn't want us to be sleeping Christians, and especially sleeping Christians that are running from His presence. When I thought about these, you know, this reminded me of just how easy it is for a Christian to become a sleeper. None of those things are hard to do there. Certainly when I'm running from God, when I'm running from His presence, I can really kind of, you know, get detached from what God's calling me to do. Jonah's running. He's running from the Lord, and it kind of made me have another one of them flashbacks. I had some flashbacks this week. I had a flashback to the 70s, old song I used to listen to. Kind of going to date myself. I actually wanted to come tonight and put my thing right here. Now, we have the stuff now, we can play it up here. But then I thought, no, I better not do that. Some of y'all might have flashbacks and go to lighting your lighters and holding them up. I don't know. Who knows? Who knows? I don't know. Anyway. The song is old Jackson Brown song. Old Jackson Brown song. Running on empty. Running on empty. The song's lyrics go something like this. Running on empty. Running blind. Running on, running into the sun, but I'm running behind. Jonah, the sleeper, he needed to arise. He needed to stop running. Just like it is with anybody that's a follower of Christ. We can fall asleep. Christians are good, and we need sleep. We need sleep. You know, it made me even think this week, I know God's word says Jonah was running from the Lord, but sometimes God's people, we get burned out. We need sleep. We need rest. Don't miss that thing too. Don't think you got to be all, do all for God. Sometimes God may say, you know what, I need you to just step back and rest so I can get you ready to go again. But sometimes we don't listen to that part of what God's trying to calls to do, to get some rest. So what's our story? Last part we're going to look at tonight, our story. Our Heavenly Father. The merciful and living God of Jonah desires for us to come running to him in obedience, to cry out to him in prayer. I love Jonah's prayer in chapter 2. Chapter 2, verse 7, Jonah says in his prayer, "When my soul fainted within me, I remembered the Lord." Jonah's telling us right there, I looked up to the Lord. He quit looking at his difficulties. They were all around him. He had no problem seeing them. He looked up to the Lord and cried out to the Lord. But it was almost when his soul fainted. And when I read that, it's almost like I can hear Jonah's voice just saying, "I'm tired, Lord, of running on empty. I'm tired, Lord, of running blind. I'm tired, Lord, of running into the sun. And I'm tired, Lord, of running behind." When you're running from the Lord, you're going to get tired in that way. And the Lord's standing right there waiting for you to remember him and cry out to him, especially when he's the one who is over the storm of your life because you're running from him. And then Jonah goes on in his prayer. I love verse 9. He says of chapter 2, "But I will sacrifice to you with the voice of thanksgiving. I will pay what I have vowed. Salvation is of the Lord." At that point right there, you see Jonah says, "I'm ready. I'm ready to arise, Lord, and go where you've asked me to go. The vow that I would make, I want to keep with you because I know my salvation is in you." Perhaps your God, my God, is saying, "Arise, go." Maybe not to a bloodthirsty city like Nineveh. Maybe to a neighbor across the path. Maybe to a child. Maybe to, you know, a coworker. Maybe to a bloodthirsty city. We don't like to think about that part. But if he's saying arise and go, he'll equip you to go. And I thought, why does God always say arise and go? Because he's the God of mercy. He showed us mercy. Why would he not ask us to arise and go to show others the mercy he showed us? And actually, the answer to that, why would God ask us to arise and go, is in that old flashback song again from Running on Empty, Jackson Browne. Remember this lyric, if you know the song. It says, "Everyone I know, everywhere I go, people need some reason to believe." That song spoke to me when that God laid that on my heart. I didn't just figure that out this week, just sitting in the sunroom and just bust out crying because God would show me something like that. Back in the day when I was rocking and rolling with that song, it had never crossed my mind the way it crosses my mind now. That's good stuff. That's a merciful God. That's a God who reveals himself to you in just marvelous ways. So that's our reason to go. And after what happened last night, it's a lot of people out there looking for a reason to believe. They really are. We're living in some crazy times now. Crazy times. People want a reason to believe. And God's saying, arise, go. You know the reason. I'll be with you. It's not about you. I want to close tonight with David's song in Chronicles. Chronicles, 1 Chronicles 16. It's a song of thanksgiving, a song of praise to the holy God of Israel. And David says this. And think about these words now as we've talked about what we've talked about tonight. Arise and go. 1 Chronicles 16, 23 through 25. "Sing to the Lord, all the earth. Proclaim the good news of his salvation from day to day. Declare his glory among the nations, his wonders among all peoples. For the Lord is great and greatly to be praised. He is also to be feared above all gods. Let's close in prayer. Gracious Father, I'd like to say that all the times you've told me to arise and go, I've hopped right to it. Didn't even think twice about it. But God, you know that's not true. Well, what I know is true, Father, is that you give me a second chance. You're the God of second chances, the God of everlasting mercy. We see that in this study with Jonah. But you know, Father, I don't want us to just look at that. God, help us understand that in our lives. And make it real, Father, as we go out into the world to carry Jesus every day, everywhere. The truth, Lord, you have given to us. Oh, we don't have all the answers, Lord. You didn't ask us to have all the answers. You just said, arise and go. God, blessed be your name. Thank you for your holy word, Father. Thank you for letting us being enriched by it this week, Lord. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.